something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, a full house we have today. Perilous World times four. I'm Alan Masters, my brother David Masters, Mike Jones, and Bo Hansen. Bo Diddley, we may call you. Bo is getting a fan base going here by some of our listeners, which is funny. Of course,
why? He's the best-looking guy in the group.
Well, he's the youngest guy. He doesn't have any wrinkles or fat rolls. Come on. Give him a few years like us.
Right. Yeah.
Mike Jones gets emails. I get them all because I give out my email. Alan@FHU.com. Alan@FHU.com. Or David, you can send David emails or both of us. Pat Kelly gets fan mail. Fan mail from a flounder, if you remember. Does anybody remember that? Do you know who that is, Bo? Are you old enough to know?
That was Rocky and Bullwinkle.
David, I didn't ask you. I know you're old enough to know. Did you know that?
Oh, sorry.
Bullwinkle.
I did not, and that's in my wheelhouse there.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Fan mail from a flounder.
I don't know.
But I thought I would bring this one up only because it was cute. Thank you, Rose, who sent this email. I won't go through the whole thing, but the one thing she says, you have a great team. Let's see, yada, yada, yada. Don't know where you found Bo, but he is a real treasure. Mike Jones is also a beautiful man. Okay, I added that part. both laughing over here. I should actually read more of these emails, but the reason why I brought this one up, guys, is because she actually asks a question. And of course, this show started half a century plus ago with our dad, Roy Masters, who did a show called The Advice Line, which is what this show really is. But we modified it a couple of years ago because of what was going on in the media, in the world. And in one of my dad's books, Hypnotic States of Americans, and it's basically a survival manual for families in a perilous world. And when I read that, I went, wow, it is a perilous world. We should just rename the show Perilous World Radio, because that is what we're going through right now in this world. So we stuck that little moniker on there, but I do believe we will be going back to Advice Line, what this show started. The genesis of this show was Roy Masters doing Advice Line. So here we have a person asking a question, and here it is. And so you can email us questions too. We should do more of this, David, by the way. It also says, it is the media highlight of my day, the radio show. I would love to hear from Bo more on diet. Evidently, she came to one of our Sunday talks and noticed, Bo, that you were a svelte young man, easy for a young guy of 34. I'm just telling you. But anyway, he's also a wrestler, but he does really watch his food. And the first thing he says to me today, this morning we went to get a cup of coffee, and he says, that looks good in the pastry case, right? And I said, do you want one? He goes, nope, I'm not eating today and probably not tomorrow either. He's very disciplined with his food. David Masters has also had to been very disciplined. He's got his diabetes under control by his diet. You and me, Mike, we're screwed. Pat Kelly, no good. It's just, we're dead. But Rose
says,
by
the way, for 12 years, no
less.
Yes,
good for you.
And my doctor has told me that I could pass for being biologically in my 40s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, my doctor told me I was 75 and that if I didn't lose some weight, I was going to die. And I think he's right. I'm joking. She says, I would love to hear more from Bo on diet. It is something I am wrestling with, and he seems to be very knowledgeable in this area as well as in the spiritual and biblical arena, which is, I believe, how we should all be. We should take a look at what we're reading in the Bible. As we read along, it should help us navigate our lives. Now, last night I went to dinner with my wife, and Bo, I'm going to give you a chance to talk, I promise, after I answer her question for you, okay? And you can just agree. That's what we talked about. I asked the question, answer it, and then I let you agree.
Yes.
But I went to dinner with my wife, and she says to me, give me your hand. She's across from me at the table. Give me your hand. So I took my hand off of my face. Both hands were, you know, elbows on the table, one hand under each side of my cheek, sitting there looking at this pretty woman. She says, give me your hand. And I gave her my left hand. She goes, no, the other one. I'm like, I wonder why. So I leaned onto my left elbow, put my hand in hers after we had ordered. She said, didn't you tell me that your body was God's and you should take better care of his temple? After I had ordered. Yeah. After I had ordered.
Right. And you're expecting.
She yes. orders a salad. I order a big greasy gut bomb. Right? I said, couldn't you have said that before I ordered? So in order to give me the little Jewish guilt trip. Anyway, hanging around Bo is definitely a life-changing experience for anybody. Here's a young guy who has really been on an interesting journey in his life. You're 34, right, Bo?
Yeah.
So we're all, you know, way up there. We could be, all of us could be your dad. And your life, you had a life-changing experience when you were a young man. You hurt your back so bad that you were like disabled or disabilitated, or you literally had to like lie in bed for a couple years almost, right?
Well, it was a couple months that I was actually in bed, not being able to do anything. The pain was so bad, I completely ruptured L5-S1 disc, completely ruptured it into my sciatic nerve on the right side. So you have your sciatic nerve goes through your pelvis and a couple little holes, and it completely filled the holes. And the pain was so bad to where below my knee, I couldn't even feel. It was just gone, you know. But I was in and out of consciousness for, you know, the first 48 hours until my brother basically came into the bathroom and loaded me and brought me to the hospital.
Why were you in the bathroom for 48 hours?
Well, because I was puking from the pain. I was vomiting from the pain, in and out of consciousness, and didn't want to move.
Oh.
And so I'd come to, and yeah, it was.
So that's what happened to me graphic. After the last election, by the way. It was actually the.
You're right. All of us, David.
6 weeks for me to get
out. David, but here's the thing. He lost. Can I say this?
Go ahead.
He lost control of his ability to use his bowels. And I mean, this is a young guy, kind of an all-star athlete kind of a guy, was now having to have his tush wiped by an older woman taking care of him. Very humbling.
How much did that cost him? I'm just joking.
cost me everything.
It did.
It cost me my pride, but it also gave me everything though as well.
So. Right. So he goes from being this star athlete to a person that is debilitated, basically. You were almost disabled, really. I mean, you were for a while.
Technically, in the state of Washington where it happened, I still have my lifetime disabled hunter's permit.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, yeah. They said I never would walk without a cane again. I never would feel my right foot ever again. Permanent nerve damage. Hmm. So,
can you tell this story? It's actually quite interesting because this is a story of redemption. Because his life was going the wrong way. I'm telling you. This guy used to fight people just to let out energy. You know what I mean? I mean, you look at the world, and am I saying this right? You look at the world of WWF, that insane world. That was Bo's life. I mean, in real life, he would just go out and find people to beat up. This guy had rage, a rage monster. He told me yesterday that he said he had so much rage that he would actually black out.
Yeah. Yeah, that started when I was younger, actually. My older brother would almost harass me or torture me a little bit, you know what I mean, to the point where it would just, I'd snap, and I would.
This is your older brother?
Yes.
See, I won't name him.
Yes.
I have an older brother that did that to me with he had a finger that he got cut off that has a strange little nail.
I still do it
sharpened.
To you psychically. Let's I don't see know if you can notice
psychically. Yeah. Yeah. He outs himself.
In my neck, in my ear, he would put that thing in my ear and poke the inside of my ear, and I would lay there and scream, and my dad couldn't hear me because he was upstairs, and we were in our dungeon room that we shared. David and I shared a room. So we have kind of a special hate for each other.
It's actually a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
I stole everything from him for years. He was wondering, I don't know where
I want my surfboard
went.
Back, by the way. Just get my surfboard
find
back
it.
To me.
I yeah, dare right. you to find
Somebody
it.
Somebody took it. That's what happened.
No. Anyway, we're going to continue on the other side of this break. We're talking with each other, Bo Hansen, Mike Jones. I'm Alan Masters, my brother David. We're going to get to Rose's question about diet, but you have to understand who we are. If you understand who we are and where we came from, you'll understand why we're sitting here today talking the way we are. We ask you to send questions in until we go live on the internet to me, I guess, Alan, four letters, A-L-A-N. Sometimes people try it with double L's and E's and all that. No, A-L, like Fat Al, A-L-A-N at FHU.com. I'm trying to give something a splinter in your mind so you'll remember that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back. Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
There is no escaping the challenges of life. Everyone has to learn how to deal with stress. The bottom line is this: if you don't control stress, stress will control you. Go to FHU.com. That's www.fhu.com. And find out how you can control stress.
Every night I take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that, helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Visit www.fhu.com. Learn a simple technique that will change the way you deal with stress. For more information, call 1-800-877-3227 or visit fhu.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Perilous World Radio. I'm Alan Masters. Mike Jones, Bo Hansen, David Masters. How do you guys like the new format? We've changed it up just a little bit because everything was becoming so political that it was driving me insane. I think a lot of people are going insane with all this political stuff. So we're doing more live in-person conversation than regurgitating what's happening in the news. You guys can watch the Alphabet Soup networks if you want. I choose to just, you know, take it in tiny little doses. I'll watch a little Tucker. I'll watch a little Sean Hannity on Fox. I flip the channel around a little bit. Like, I've seen enough of this garbage. Who wants to know about that Jesse Smollett idiot? I'm enough of that. If you literally watch Fox News for an hour, you're going to see the same story told by every single one of the host. I'm just done with it.
I don't watch any of them.
See?
The only thing that I see now is Tucker. I'm addicted
can
to
I,
Tucker.
Can I
guess.
And before we get back to the question that Rose sent in about diet and what have you and the spiritual biblical part of this whole thing, we'll get back to Bo. Somebody made a comment the other day that Tucker and Hunter Biden were big friends. Was it you? Where'd you see that?
I remember what was emails. They exchanged a lot of emails until about 2 years ago. So, but they've been seen a lot of places too. But I forgot what site that was. Yeah, that was on that disposed of that.
I can't imagine that. I'll tell you why. Because if you look at Tucker, if you look at his life, He's a family man. He keeps his family life very private, unlike us. You know, I grew up on the radio. My dad talking about me on the radio. David grew up on the radio. Our family, we grew up listening to our dad talk about us on the radio and how, you know, how he was learning his lessons and we were learning our lessons and so on and so forth. You don't hear Sean Hannity talking about his kids. You don't hear Tucker talking about his kids.
Right.
They're very private. Hunter, on the other hand, Hunter Biden, I think ran in different circles of life than a guy like Hunter.
They're both Washington, D.C. kids, though. I mean, to a certain extent, I think Tucker grew up a lot in California, but
yeah,
his family was in the D.C. area, and he's been in the D.C.
Hunter
area for a long time.
The son of the vice president at the time, probably, but I don't know. But anyway, I just think it was an odd piece of information.
Because they exchanged a bunch of emails,
it doesn't mean anything.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, back to this question. So you had this horrifying thing happen to you, which really, let's go past the physical part of it. But at some point you had kind of either, can I call it an awakening? Where were you when this whole thing happened to where you said, I've got to change my life? And then somehow you miraculously obviously have feeling in your leg and you don't have to walk with a cane and you're a bit of an athlete today without even trying. You're restored. Can I say that?
Well, I'm 100% healed. I have the MRIs to prove that I have a brand new disc. So brand new disc.
Not from surgery.
No, no. God makes spare parts for us.
There you go.
So
give us that.
Just so anyways, I'm a hyperactive person as it is, and I used to just physically be hyperactive. But actually, prior to this, I was training for strongman competitions. If you guys are familiar with that, it's heavy lifting, you know.
Right.
Endurance in short periods of time.
Trying to get rid of some of that rage as well.
Well, you know, I would tap into that rage when I would be in the gym or be doing these competitions for sure. That competitive nature side of me kind of goes hand in hand. That's why I loved mano-a-mano sports as well. I loved wrestling. I loved to get in the ring of any type. I just love.
You were like state champion or something?
Yeah, yeah. The accolades don't matter. I won state title up in Washington. I went to Southern Oregon University, my father's alma mater. My dad was actually a four-time All-American wrestler there back in the early 80s. That's why I got started in wrestling from a young age. And then I went there on a full-ride wrestling scholarship and actually ended up walking on for football my freshman year and actually starting as a true freshman there for football.
So he was going to be an NFL player. It all comes crashing down with this broken situation.
And so anyways, I can no longer be hyperactive, distracting myself from the real world physically. So I turn to mental stimulation and I start doing research. I remember I watched this documentary that came out on Netflix back when Netflix came free with Xbox Live subscriptions. Okay. It was called Food Inc. So a lot of you guys have probably heard of Food Inc. It talks about, you know, really what our food industry is like. And man, it opened my eyes up. And something inside me, that desire from my heart, was like, oh, you need to do some research on this because there's something there you need to know more about. And I did. And that led into the medical industry. And so then I had my girlfriend at the time who ended up later marrying. She was just going to the library, getting me medical journals, medical books. I was just devouring 20 hours a day, just researching and journaling everything. And then that would lead to the next thing. That led to the chemical companies. Then that led to politics. Then that led to history, how everything I had been taught
connected
my entire life was a lie.
Yeah. It's all connected. It's all
of it. And it kept pointing back to this little spiritual thing. It kept pointing back to the Bible. And as soon as I get to the Bible, I go, oh, nope, get rid of that crap. And I start researching something else. And then it would come right back to this biblical, and I didn't want to look there. I was raised in the church, and I saw the hypocrisy, and I saw the nastiness, lies, and it made me have a resentment of my own. I wasn't walking in forgiveness because I wasn't forgiving myself, basically, for a lot of the things.
There's
that
some
done
of the genesis of your rage as well.
That 100%.
And hypocrisy at home with the parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Anyways, so I started with my own will. I started working on my core and these little tiny things I started doing. And pretty soon I was able to get up, start moving around, start walking all goofy. I'd still sit on one leg only or like on one hip. About a year and a half into it, I was getting pretty active again. I really was in sustainable agriculture. I was doing aquaponic systems on a larger scale. I was growing tons of food in downtown Bellingham on a half an acre lot. People thought I was absolutely crazy. I could see how I would look that way. I mean, I always had rabbit tractors, chicken tractors, turkeys. I had a bummer lamb. I had quail. I had everything in downtown, like in the ghettos of Bellingham, you know, and just would walk around and give my neighbors boxes of food like every other day, was just passing out food everywhere. But anyway, I gave in to the Bible. I was like, everything kept pointing back there. So I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll start reading it again. And that spirit inside me started ministering to me, started like pointing some of these things out, and I started to self-reflect. And I started to look at these little things in my life. And then I found this gentleman online named Derek Prince.
Yeah.
And I started watching some of these. Oh, he's old. He's like your dad's age, you know
right.
what I mean?
And we played some Derek Prince on Monday.
Yeah, and it really led to the self-discovery and really wanting and believing again in something higher than myself and higher than this world.
And you know what? It's admirable. I enjoy hanging around with this guy. We've been hanging around for weeks. He's a great addition to the show with Mike Jones and Patrick Kelly, David and Alan Masters here. You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We're going to come back more with Bo Jones and talk a little bit about Bo Jones. I keep doing that because Mike's son is Bo Jones. Bo Hansen and Mike Jones. Gosh. Are you sure he's not your kid, Mike? Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back. Listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, I hope this interests you, this conversation. We're going to have a whole lot more in our new format. Less clips, more live talk. And you'll be able to actually weigh in at some point in the new year. Mike Jones is going to help us. And you got to introduce Bo Hansen to Bo Jones someday and say that I've been calling this one Bo Jones. David Masters will be able to tune himself in through the ether with cameras, and maybe you'll be able to show your face, you listeners, because at some point we'll be on the web with cameras, and you'll be able to weigh in live while we're talking about certain subjects. Today we're talking about, well, again, nothing and everything. Like Seinfeld say, it's a show about nothing. But we're talking about Bo because of his journey to where he is today. He is going to be our farmer at Tall Timber Ranch. We've purchased some of the necessary things to be able to have a huge farm out there now to grow food and to actually use his skills and all of our skills. Mike Jones, farmer. This guy here, he grows cantaloupe.
Yeah, but I'm not anywhere near 95% replacement of, I'm not, I'm not off the grid. I'm fiddling around out in the garden. This is serious stuff he's talking about
nobody heard that.
I'm excited to see it.
During the commercial break, he said that at a certain point, and he was raising his family, how many years ago was this? Five, six, 7 years ago?
5 years. Yeah, 5 to 7 years ago.
He was 95% off grid, you might say.
100% energy off the grid. About 95% food. Almost 95% food grid. I mean, I was taking ocean water and boiling it off of my salt. We would buy wheat berries. Yep, that was about it. Wheat berries was about the only thing that we would be purchasing, and we would grind our own
this
wheat.
This guy was Achanabish Amish.
That's the other thing that I'm doing right now is making a lot of my own bread, and you start into these little worlds, and it opens up, and there's just like 10 million different possibilities.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And it's really a mind-expanding thing, too.
So you know? I tell you what, you guys, here's the beauty of it all. Bo grows a lot of his own food and is going to do that for us now. We're going to have so much food, we're going to know what to do with it. Because last night, somebody made a joke with my wife. They said, grow, what do they call those cherry tomato plants? Mm-hmm. They're insane. They give you so much food. One plant, you can feed a whole city. Obviously, I'm joking, but that's how much it's that kind of a fruit bearing. Is tomatoes a fruit, right? Yes. Fruit bearing plant. It gives so much food. One cherry tomato plant. So, Mike, you are now into baking your own bread and what have you. I am the guy that takes all the leftovers and make what's called Allen's goulash. See? So you guys, thank you for all the excess so that I can grow my food.
Well, you know what?
From your leftovers.
The thing that is the bugaboo for me is that protein. You have to get a, you know, a certain amount of protein, and you can grow a lot of stuff in a garden, but protein is like potatoes. Protein is like, you know, I mean,
so potatoes are a very, very weak source of protein. Yeah, I mean, starch, but
replacing meat is a difficult thing.
Yeah, if you want to go that route, for me, it's more sustainable agriculture altogether, and really is achieving this harmony in the entire farm. One of my favorite people in this world is named Joel Salatin. He has Polyface Farms, and he doesn't bring anything onto the property, but he raises all types of meat, and it's just this regenerative farming practices.
What do you mean he doesn't bring anything onto the property?
No feed. He doesn't purchase anything. All the feed he raises on the property. Wow. All the water comes from the property. And
are we doing that at Tall Timber?
That's what the plan. That's what the goal is. Yeah.
Okay. So somebody called and said, are they going to be doing cows and pigs and things? I think we should.
We'll start small. We'll work our way up, you know, as it goes, because it's
the ranch needs to be completely self-sustaining.
Yes, 100%.
And we have water, thank goodness.
Yes.
We have lots of land, thank goodness.
Yeah, it's just been fallow for a long time.
Right.
So it hasn't been getting its nitrogen, the carbon, refixed back into the soil. So that's what we're lacking now. So because really the farm's health is in the soil. It's in the microbes in the
How's
soil.
How's our soil?
The soil is really high in mineral content. It's low in nitrogen right now just because there hasn't been anything grazing.
You tested it.
Yeah, I've tested, 18 different spots. So okay. Everything's off the chart as far as minerals.
So this whole conversation came about because one of our listeners, Rose, asked about Bo's diet and how diet and the Bible go hand in hand. And I made a comment that at dinner my wife says, you said, I did say this, that this body of mine is God's temple, and I'm supposed to take good care of it. So I'm working, like all of us are working, to be more healthy. And I thought, guys, that if I just take, you know, tonnage of vitamins and supplements, I said this to you the other night, that that would be enough, right? I could continue, you know, well, I eat better, but I think, okay, I'm gonna load up on all my vitamins and stuff. And then I started overdoing the vitamins. My body started rebelling.
Well, see, and this is Western's medicine issue. It's right. So Western medicine is just like a Band-Aid. It treats symptoms, right? Instead of going back and looking at the radix, looking at the root issue of why is your body out of harmony? Why is your body in a state of disease?
Yeah, just look in the book and it says, well, give them this particular pharmaceutical for that symptom.
Right.
Instead of why are you generating this symptom?
Right. Yeah. So that does two things. It takes your freedom away because now you become a slave to this treatment, one, and they can charge you whatever they want because they're coming from a place of scarcity.
Sustains an industry.
That's right. And it's a byproduct industry, actually, really what it is from the chemical companies and manufacturing things. And it goes back to them just studying the human body and the peptides that we talked about yesterday, how our human body produces these peptides. And they just make synthetic ones. And they figure out how to make synthetic peptides and then put it in a pill form and charge you X amount of dollars, whatever they choose, right? It's all about the slave system.
Well, listen, just because I ate a lot of ding-dongs and ho-hos, don't be making, you know, fun of me. Happen to enjoy those things.
Well, that's because you're entertaining those taste buds, right?
So whatever happened did you get to eat dinner last night? Or
I did. I ate dinner very guiltily.
Yes, right. Yes.
Yes. Each bite every bite, as Bo has taught me. If you ever eat with Bo, by the way, he eats every bite and will leave a morsel of bread or something, a potato, to wipe up the plate to where it is clean enough to almost serve another meal on. Mm. This is how this guy eats, okay? So I did the same thing. I saved 7 or 8 French fries and scooped around in circles and got all the ketchup and all the other things cleaned off the plate.
Yes.
And
these,
then ate part of my wife's.
Are equal here.
It's like I said yesterday. You eat a Snickers bar and drink a Diet Coke, and the Diet Coke cancels out the sugar
right.
in the Snickers bar. It's yes, perfect science.
Hang on. Let
it's
me, let
Dr.
Me make
Fauci.
A note of that.
It's Dr. Fauci science. It's perfect. Okay? Dr. Fauci science. Anyway, and we have not yet answered Rose's question about diet, and we'll get to that. Can you guys believe an hour has already disappeared? An hour? What? Oh, wait, one more segment? I lied. Can you guys believe that almost an hour? So he just told me in my ear, we have one more segment. Anyway, so let us fast forward to Rose's question. She wants to know about diet. Now, what you said to me today is that you're not going to eat today and maybe not tomorrow. Why?
Well, during meditation last night, I was having a hard time meditating. My flesh was talking to me. So I was having a hard time humbling it. And I woke up in a funk again this morning. And I woke up extremely hungry. My body's like, fill my stomach. And I'm like, oh, you want to start talking? I'm going to give you something to talk about. So I'm just about killing off that flesh, humbling the flesh, and I'm going to let it just cry today. I'm going to let it cry today, and if it doesn't stop by the end of the day, I'm going to let it cry tomorrow. If it doesn't stop tomorrow, I'm going to let it cry for 3 days.
Yeah, I have a different perspective on this, though.
Let's hear it.
Because I have
Let's
done this now since 2011 when I found out that I was type 2. And what happens is that there is...
Can you pass me the ding-dongs over there?
Sure.
Hold on,
the
David.
The higher self can observe the lower self and not let it cry like a baby, because the higher self is actually in charge of the lower self.
That's right.
And for me, I don't actually have a struggle anymore. When I smell, you can actually go into the supermarket. You walk down the candy aisle. You smell the sugar. It's so powerful. It's like some kind of incredible drug. It doesn't affect me anymore because I've learned just to watch it. And as you watch it, that watching of it is how you maintain control. If you watch it, it's like two dogs that are about to get at you, and you just watch them. And they cannot get to you unless you take your attention away from that. That's really how it is. You don't struggle with it. You don't struggle in the flesh. You observe it out of existence. That's my experience, and it's worked for me for almost 12 years now.
Yeah, it's for me, it's basically keeping myself walking in the spirit instead of, walking in my flesh, letting my flesh like, my stomach is empty. It's grumbling. I need to put something in it. Versus,
but that's a natural thing, right? So the question
it can
is,
but guess check this out. But say, so if you eat a whole bunch of food at night before you go to sleep, your stomach is stretched out. Your body's going to be producing more stomach acid. So you wake up, your body's like, my stomach is already stretched out. It's ready for more food. I know that if
okay,
I fast
let me put it to you this way. Let me put it to you this way. I wake up without an alarm clock because my body has its own clock, right? Everybody's has it. Most people don't listen to it. I wake up every morning at about 5:30. I can go back to sleep for an hour if I want to. But the point is, your body also has an awareness of its own needs. If you allow that awareness, if you don't, and if you indulge the needs, then the needs begin to take control. And so at nighttime, when I get hungry, I just know, in my higher self, I know I don't need to eat. And that is all that I need to know. And it goes away right there on the spot. And so that is really conscious self-control. Just saying.
Last thought on this before we take a break.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely to be aware of it. And with your diet, too, it's like we get addicted to little things like sugar or all sorts of different stuff like that. And our body will talk to us and tell us we need. Our body's like, oh, yeah, we need that drug. We need that drug because we've been wired on the molecular level to be using that drug. So,
all right. I just want to tell you that I found the body's alarm clock. I want you to know, all of you, it is actually located in the bladder. Wakes me up every morning, and I have to go. David, it's like the same with you, about 5:30 in the morning.
First.
The body's alarm clock is the bladder. We'll take a little break. Yes.
I'm 2:57 a.m. That's every day, pretty much.
This poor guy wakes up every day at 3 o'clock in the morning. We'll take a little break, having a little fun today. Kind of a new format for us. Just kind of live in-person talk radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
It's your first day at work and you meet a new colleague. You've never met this person before, yet you have a positive sense you can't quite explain. Perhaps you're visiting a place for the first time and there's a magnetic feeling guiding you toward your destination. This is what many describe as intuition, an unexpected sixth sense about a situation or person. Often, intuitions pass unnoticed but play a key role in our everyday lives. The concept of intuition is often wrapped in mystery. Is it an expansion of spirituality? Well, from a scientific perspective, it has to do with your higher self. In fact, intuition is the invisible bridge between our conscious and unconscious minds. It involves information that you're not conscious of, and highly intuitive people gain insight without a known logical or rational process. In Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress at FHU.com, you will learn to remain calm and patient in the face of extreme stress, confusion, and cruelty. Expand your intuition and discover your true identity. Read Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress, at FHU.com.
How would you like to support the work of Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding? Well, the best way to do that is to get a web subscription. A web subscription allows you to log in and get the best that the FHU has to offer online. Exclusive web subscription includes Advice Line radio program archive downloads, over 6 hours of video programs, over 20 popular audio programs valued at $200, New Insights newsletter PDF plus back issues, more than 40 insightful articles, special offers, discounts, and features. A yearly subscription is $120, and it's only $12 a month. Visit the website FHU.com and get your FHU web subscription today. That's FHU.com. If you've been helped by Roy Masters, please support him so that others might discover his message too. The web subscription is one way that you can do that. Again, visit FHU.com and order the FHU web subscription at FHU.com.
To Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, we're talking about an email we got from one of our listeners, Rose, who said, I would like to hear more from Bo Hansen on diet. It is something I'm wrestling with. And he seems to be very knowledgeable in that area, as well as the spiritual biblical arena. And I think she wants to hear a little bit about, you know, kind of, and that's what we're trying to do. We've been having a lot of fun today, I think, just getting to this point. But when you eat, Bo, I know you always say a prayer before you eat, which is just, I always enjoy watching that because Bo sometimes will say, Papa, talks to God and calls him Papa, and he says his little prayer. And it's just, he has a very personal, very real relationship with his Father in heaven, and he's not afraid to show anybody where he's at in his life. But he lives a very different life than most of us. He's taken himself out of the system, and he wants to live off the land and live in a very spiritual and walk in a very spiritual life in the way that his Savior has. And it's very admirable. I love watching. I love hanging with you. Love hanging with Mike Jones. All of our lives together, these guys that I run around with lately, we talk about our lives constantly and the things we're doing right, the things we're struggling with. And so we come back to this diet thing, and maybe you could give a couple of minutes to Rose about diet and how you live your life and your diet.
Yeah. Like going back to saying, like, you know, I come to the understanding that everything I learned had been a lie. Let's look at the food pyramid, right? What's the biggest thing on there? Is
great carbohydrates,
great processed, refined grains, right? Yeah. So I've learned that the closer your food is to source, or the more alive your food is, your body absolutely loves it.
And it changes everything about you, the way you think, because you're putting thought into even what you're purchasing to put in your body. Like, I'll give you an example. We went to get coffee here before the show and across the street, and I said, I'm going to get oat milk because I've already had some cow milk today in my first cup of coffee or my second one, which I should not do. But I said, no, I'll have oat milk. What did you say to me?
We should check to see the ingredients. I'm pretty sure there's about 7 or 8 ingredients in oat milk.
And I thought, oh, man, I thought it was just, they just put the oats in the stanchion and they milk it just like a cow, little udders.
Yeah, people you know, make assumptions about it that it's good because it's almonds.
Yeah, almonds. Yeah, oats. Right.
Yes.
No, there's always a lot more to the equation, isn't there?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. People perish for lack of knowledge, right? So it's really, we're just trusting these words, the power of words and the spells that words are. It's like the Federal Reserve. Like most people, how many, 95% of Americans think Federal Reserve is actual part of the government? No, it's a private bank. Just because it says federal doesn't mean it's part of the government. I mean, anyone could open up a company with the name Federal in it. You know, it's just this little tiny thing. We've been taught not to think, not to question.
I know this comes to our thing this morning. Bo's phone went bing, and both of us grabbed our phone and we almost started laughing. And he says, isn't it crazy how we are conditioned? What is the word? Triggered, right? Because here's this bing. It means, you know, we got a text. Yeah, somebody, it was him. And we laughed. It's like this Pavlovian conditioning.
Yeah.
The phone makes a noise. You start watering of the mouth, or you start getting afraid, or you get happy.
Right. It's like the news. So like the news, you got one side of the news that will present this picture and they'll say a word and they'll either instate fear, or the other side of the news will show the exact same thing with a little twist and incite anger.
Right.
So it's basically conditioning us. So then we hear certain words, you know, terrorism. Okay, that's a word that causes a certain feeling, or conspiracy theorist, right? Oh, that means not true. No, the word conspire means two or more people working together for a goal. That's all that word means. And it's interesting how words have changed meaning.
Right.
The English words have changed meaning so
much. Yeah, a lot of manipulation of words.
Because of marketing. We've been marketed to, even to the ringtones and all these things. They're all little manipulators. They manipulate us to react. The problem is we're so caught up in our emotions that we are so easily played, like drumming the strings of a guitar. You know, they can make us make their music they want us to.
Well, I think the point about words is a very salient one, because right now the left is working very hard within universities, and they manipulate language and words to mean several different things. And it's an evil practice.
Yes, it is.
That they're doing. And it's becoming pervasive in society now.
So I'm gamifying this lately in my mind. And I said this the other day on the Sunday talk. Not today, Satan. We walked by a car. We saw this funny bumper sticker. And it said, "Not today, Satan." When I see these things, I sometimes will say it out loud. Not today, Satan. You're not going to get me. In other words, you're not going to fool me, because I see you. I have my eye on you. I have my eye on you marketers. I have my eye on you manipulators. You in, what do they call that? In artificial intelligence. I have my eye on you. I see you trying to use me as your pawn. I refuse to be your pawn. Now, all of us are used until we wake up and say, I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to be used anymore. I don't want to be pushed across the board this way and that way by marketers that are making me do what they want me to do.
It just comes to be consciously aware.
Right.
It's like the same way we can be consciously aware of ourselves. And it's the same thing going on everywhere. It's that symbolism. It really gets broken down into frequencies. That's what words are. Sounds of words coming out are certain frequencies. Just because they change the meaning of a word doesn't mean that frequency is not the same thing you're
same
hearing.
Same thing.
Right. Okay. Same with symbolism and ads that we see or logos or whatnot are a certain color and certain shapes for a reason. It goes back to geometry. Yeah. This has been used for thousands upon thousands of years to manipulate the minds.
And you said it earlier, you meditate. You meditate in the morning, meditate in the evening.
Midday if I need to, a couple times.
That's right. And you catch yourself. Because what did we say the other day? We forget ourselves.
That's right.
So don't forget yourself. Because guess what? You'll find that you'll wake up a pawn. And you'll go, what have I done? I forgot myself. Catch yourself, people. Meditate. You can find a free meditation, the Be Still and Know exercise, at FHU.com. FHU.com. Thanks for your letter, Rose. We're not done with you. We'll come back and talk more about our subject on the other side for another hour of Perilous World Radio. Be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, I hope you're enjoying the new format of our show, Perilous World Radio. Less clips. We have clips. We have lots of clips about politics and what have you. But personally, the clips have made me want to throw up in my mouth, and I don't like the flavor of vomit anymore. It makes me choke just a little bit. I'm Alan Masters. I know that was quite vile. I apologize. David Masters, quietly in the background. Mike Jones, sitting there with a smirk on his face. And Bo Hansen, what is that face? What is that? What is that? We're here Monday through Friday talking about this perilous world. Some days I'm sure we are going to play clips because there's things that must be said from the news and then talked about and discussed. We have, David has 10 clips of our dad, our father, Roy Masters, David and I's father, this. We may or may not get to that stuff today. We're just talking amongst ourselves. I feel like we haven't done enough talking amongst ourselves, David. Any thoughts on that?
Well.
There it is.
I was just going to comment on what you guys were talking about at the end of the last hour, which is, I've done something which is actually so simple that most people don't even think of when it comes to regaining control over my life. And it has to do with making a simple choice. And the choice is this. You know, we all have smartphones now, and you were talking about this quite a bit over the last hour. But what I've done is I've decided that I will control my phone and not let my phone control me. So I have turned off all of my notifications, which means I have my ringer up when I want to hear the phone ring. But other than that, I leave it off. And this is a very interesting thing because Bo was saying yesterday that people check their phone an average of 98 times a day or 96, something like that, Bo.
That's a lot.
So what happens is that when you don't allow these little mechanisms to stimulate your responses, you actually stop being programmed by them, because every time you hear that noise, it could be tantamount to the air raid sirens in H.G. Wells' Time Machine, mm-hmm. which once those air raid sirens sounded, the people, the Eloi, who were pampered by the Morlocks living underground, the cannibals, would get up and go downstairs to be eaten. We are all Eloi, except for one thing. We have the choice not to allow the air raid siren in our lives. And that little ding of your phone, it conditions you. And the conditioning is almost like a poison that conditions more conditions in you. Sure. And so it becomes everything.
It reinforces that Pavlovian conditioning that everybody's talked about and heard, but doesn't realize that even though you know it, you are succumbing to it.
So I like are. This. I was saying you can fast from anything. It doesn't need to be food.
Yes. Right?
So if anything in our life becomes a habit and we're unconsciously doing it, fast from it. Watch what happens to yourself. I was thinking about, when I talked to you about it, Alan, what happened if you fasted from your phone? You will go through physical withdrawals.
Oh, no, I would die.
I will guarantee you, I would go through physical withdrawals.
You wouldn't want to be around me. Yeah.
And, you know, before I came here, there was no cell phone service where I lived. You know, it was just wonderful and beautiful. It was something I would check every 2 days or so. And you know, I mean, it's simple. But I also, you know, didn't have any human contact minus two people, like maybe 15 minutes a week. So besides talking to my children, you know, via Skype, that was it. Like, I was in my own little world, which was great. It was what I needed at the time. But at some point, God was like, okay, you've learned what you need to learn here, but now other people need to know about these things. You know,
but I want to really make a point about that, yeah. Bo. The point is that how much of what you get in the form of notifications and communications from other people is actually essential. Now, there are times when you're waiting for a
call. Not very much.
That's right. And that's the point. The point is, how much of it do you actually need? Now, what I do, I've actually learned to do something that my doctor told me years ago. He said, don't sleep near your cell phone.
Yes.
Because the cell phone emits a small amount of radiation or whatever it is that comes out of it. But I have actually put my cell phone far enough away so that if somebody needs me in the middle of the night, I can hear it ringing. But other than that, I have no connection to it. Because I've seen that there's this an impulse, a compulsion to keep looking at it as if something miraculous was going to come through. And it just doesn't. And so what I'm saying is, exercise control rather than having control be exercised over you. That's it.
Yes. Right. Well, that's what he was talking 100%. About with fasting.
Yes. So this is the thing about, I think, the importance of fasting. And the Bible talks about fasting quite a bit. And when Jesus is talking to his disciples about fasting, he doesn't say, you know, if you guys decide to fast or, you know, if it sounds like a good idea. No, he says it's a command. He says, when you fast, do not fast like the Pharisees. Okay, so the Pharisees, when they would fast, they would let everyone know about it too. They're like, oh, I'm so holy. I'm fasting today for the Lord. They go around and puff their chest up, right? Because it comes back to another thing too. It's these people that are righteous in their own eyes. Okay. They were wanting to do what they believe is the good thing or the right or moral thing just to bolster that moral pride that they have.
For public consumption.
And that is garbage. That is so wicked and so nasty, that energy about it. You should be wanting to do the right thing because you know it brings you closer to your Father. You know, who cares about what anyone else thinks? That's just all fear-based. It's all fear-based. We're worried
and
about
ego-based.
Well, that's what is ego?
Sure.
Where does ego come from? You know, it's the feeling of not being good enough, not being sufficient enough. So you got to bolster this false ego and this false pride. So you, oh, look at me. Look at all these toys I have. And really, when you find your identity in God, what matters? No one else of their opinion matters except for your opinion with God. And that is it. And no one knows your heart except for God. So really, honestly, it's really when you lose your worldly identity, when you crucify your old man and become born again and become a new man, that is when all the fear leaves. Because we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. And that only happens one way.
Fear doesn't come from God.
No, it does not. It doesn't. So this is the beauty of it, is really letting go and surrendering everything the world has ever taught you or implanted in your little brain of conditioning.
Yes.
You
gotta let it go. My father's been talking about relearning, unlearning is really what it is, all my life.
Yep.
And I was like, how do you unlearn? Come on, Dad.
Well, and it's harder. You know? It's harder
but
to actually to convince someone they've been lied to than it is to lie to them. It's actually way harder because we hang on to these little pride things. Every cell in our body, like we talked about yesterday, every single cell in our body has become conditioned on the molecular level to believe certain things and to be so-called needing, but just been conditioned for a certain release of dopamine or a certain relief of cortisol, whatever, right. All these chains of amino acids.
And it's escalated over the years with video games and virtual reality and Pavlovian conditions and news and everything. Yes.
People that are giving their children these tablets, these new babysitters. Yeah. I was looking at a MIT study.
You're talking about the digital tablets.
Yes. And I'm not talking about the stone tablets.
Tablet in the mouth.
Hey, why
do
you think Steve Jobs didn't allow his kids to have any of the technology products that he produced?
So MIT did the brain studies. The dopamine being released in a child between ages 4 and 6 on a tablet is the same as a crackhead smoking crack.
Whoa.
And then you wonder why you take your tablet away from these children and
they freak out.
And it's not just it's physics. They're going through withdrawals.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
But
By the way,
it's easier.
You were talking about Steve Jobs from Apple. Here is a quote from Elon Musk, who is a very controversial guy.
He's a robot.
He is, but he says some things that are absolutely brilliant.
Well, of course. It's that 95% mixed in. It doesn't matter. It's that 99.9% truth with a little, you know what I mean?
But here's what he says. No matter what, I don't care if it comes, I can take a truth from a liar.
Yeah.
If I know the difference, when I hear the truth, I know and I grab it.
And he is saying some very interesting things in recent.
Here's one right here. Don't confuse schooling with education. I didn't go to Harvard, but people that work for me did. In other words, he's smart enough to know to hire people that are specialists in certain areas, and he doesn't have to go to school to learn that because he used intuitive smarts, you might say, instead of learned schooling smarts.
He didn't even do the hiring.
See, this is what I love about Bo. He just cracks it wide open. We'll take a little break. You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Erica McKenzie died and stood in the presence of her creator, and he showed her something about the power of words. So what did God say to her?
God put the palm of his hand down and appeared in the palm of his hand a huge rock. You are the rock. You are the light. The light is of me, and I am with you. And as he said that, he let go of the rock, and we watched the rock begin to fall together. And finally, it made one big impact that set off one ripple.
Each of us has the power to affect good or bad change in other people. Just like Erica McKenzie experienced what God was telling her about the rippling effect of water, that each human being has an effect on another. And this is why the secret power of words will help you understand your sensitivity to words and the power they hold over you.
And we stood together and we watched as that ripple, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew till I couldn't even see the border of that single ripple. And God said to me, mankind is the water, you are the ripple.
The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters explains why words affect you so deeply and why they don't have to. Words can be confusing and destructive, except for when they are loaded with meaning in order to convey understanding. One person uses words to say the right thing, another person twists the facts. Which one do you believe? What is the truth? Confusing, yes, but if you have understanding, you will not be confused. If you have objectivity, you can see the intent behind each person's words.
God said, "You are the ripple. Your thoughts, words, and actions will affect mankind as the ripple does the water."
Visit FHU.com and order The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Perilous World Radio. I'm Alan Masters, David Masters, Mike Jones, and Bo Hansen here today. We're talking about, well, a little bit of everything under the sun when it comes to diet. David gives us all kinds of news and bits of information here, and here's one from today's David Masters news. Junk food, poor diet significantly raises risk of low testosterone in men, including ho-hos, ding-dongs, and gummy bears. Mm. Of course, Bo immediately perks up and says, yes, soy. And that's why they call them soy boys. I don't know what that means. What do you, who do they call soy boys?
Just the young men that are, that have, you know,
effeminate characteristics.
That's right. They have, I forget the term for
man boobs.
Man boobs, but there's actually a scientific term for that. So soy breaks down in our liver into estradiol, which is actually free estrogen. So it's, the soy is in everything. Soy lecithin, which is a byproduct, by the way. And why did soy surpass corn as the number one subsidized crop by the government?
Oh,
and it's only
gosh.
A certain soy too. It's only a soybean that is able to be purchased from Monsanto.
Oh,
which also Monsanto is, you cannot take Monsanto to court in the United States by any means, no matter what.
Why?
Because the Farm Act got signed by Obama, and in the Farmers Act, which they made it seem like it was a good thing for farmers, actually a horrible thing for farmers, it said that Monsanto cannot be tried in any court system in the United States.
Well, it's like these vaccinations or these things are squirting into our arms you cannot, or there's no responsibility of anybody if you die. It's just too bad for you.
Well, the responsibility is in the individual.
That's
and
right.
And it always has been.
That's
and
right.
This is the problem, because we vote with our dollars. We vote with our dollars, because what is dollar? What is money? It's saved energy. It's our energy that we have saved and put it into a form of paper or a number on a computer. So that's how we, when we choose to give money to a certain company, we're voting. And we are here today in this situation because people don't understand, because they lack knowledge, because they're not consciously aware of what they're doing with their money and their energy and their time.
This is why my dad wrote the book Hypnotic States of Americans, because they're literally walking through life blindly, hypnotically in a trance, just, you know, like David says, the Eloy, waiting for the buzzer to buzz, the bell to ring, the noise, that the frequency that makes them come alive, the Manchurian candidates in all of us, you know, to finally react and do something. And in this case, what we're seeing is, sadly, the majority of us were not wise enough to look at what the left represents and say, hell no, I won't go. They said, do it, do it, do it, because the Manchurian candidate inside of all these people that have been programmed, they played the right tone, frequency, whatever, you know, we were talking earlier, and everybody rose up. And then on top of that, the cheating that went on, and it's like, but look where we are.
Okay. So
look where we are.
There's been a lot of awakening here in the past couple of years.
Yep.
You know,
I think this year.
Current events driving a lot of this stuff. Is it enough?
Are enough
people awakened by this to change it substantively?
I don't think so yet. I believe we are going to have to suffer a little bit. Yes, David, go ahead.
And
you think we have?
Statistically, 50% of Democrats do not want another year of another session of Bidenism.
Yeah.
Yeah, another term. I do think that people are beginning to awaken, but you see, what we have to do is we have to keep chipping away at this idea that they don't have a firewall, or they haven't. And as long as you don't know that you're being affected, you're going to go on being affected. And I want to give you a perfect example. I want people to start to be aware of the little things, those little things like your phone. Here's another one. My mother-in-law, a lovely and wonderful lady. One day she comes over and she gets out of her car and she says, oh, it's so hot. And I said, no, it actually isn't. It's 70 degrees. Well, my car says it's 80. She was perspiring because the thermometer in her car said it was 80 degrees. And I said, but wait a minute. Can you feel that it's actually not that hot? No, it's hot to me. Everybody creates their own reality based on the information they allow to influence their thinking.
I think she's also going through menopause and having a heat.
No, she's actually 80 years old.
It's a very interesting point that we are we can affect ourselves physically.
Sure. You can.
A perception.
Sure.
Well, we're storytellers.
Placebos.
Like we're constantly telling our subconscious a story at all times. And actually, you can actually even go back and rewrite your stories if you've told your subconscious through meditation, through all sorts of different things. But it's very true. Our perception of information that we receive, that's what we tell our story with. So we create our own reality to a certain extent. For sure, 100%, we create our own reality. And people are walking around all these different realities right now. And it's like the Matrix. It really is. It's whatever they choose to see subconsciously. It's very dangerous. But when you know the truth, and when the spirit of truth has come upon you, it's like you kind of like pull yourself out. It's taking that red pill, and you see what it is. And at first, it's not scary, but it almost is like makes you angry a little bit. And then until you realize and you grab a hold of that, okay, well, it can't make me angry. I see what the anger is. And then you just start to self-realize. Then you want to wake everyone else up and really what it is. And going back to what do you think it's enough? People are waking up to what's going on. I think as long as there's a two-party system in the United States, that it's never going to get better. It's never. It's an illusion. I mean, Thomas Jefferson said there's an illusion of choice in a two-party system. And I really believe that it's just politics has become a career path instead of a service. You know, instead of people actually serving with a heart of a servant, it's really become a way to make money or to bolster that ego, to bolster that pride. And it's not healthy by any means for this country. It's not healthy for the world. It's not healthy for the family. It's not healthy for the individual. It's just not healthy.
Well, so speaking of health, and that's what we've been talking about, thanks to our listeners' question about eating and how it relates to biblical living, you know, basically through a more biblical lifestyle. What we're looking also, here's another bit of news from David real quick. Biden's Surgeon General, youth facing pandemic mental health issues. Early in 2021, emergency department visits in the United States for suspected suicide attempts were 51% higher in adolescent girls and 4% higher in adolescent boys compared to the same period in early 2019. So, and we have a friend whose daughter at 12 years old committed suicide. 12-year-old girl. Why are girls 51% crazy. Higher?
Well, you know, a lot of this you can trace back to this whole transgender thing, because apparently young girls are far more influenced by the push towards that.
Isn't that sad? And
there is like a 40% or more suicide rate amongst trans youth.
We'll talk more about this on the other side. It's Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back. Listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, we talk a lot about the Matrix because it is an example of how people are living in an induced state of unconsciousness, controlled by forces they do not perceive. There are two clips from the Matrix which I play from time to time which illustrate this. And in the Matrix, there are two kinds of people. There are people who are interned in these artificial wombs that are feeding the electrical system of the Matrix, which is controlled by machines. And then there are the agents of the Matrix, which are virtual reality programs, but they are sort of sentient. So they can operate within the Matrix and make choices and interact with those who are living their lives inside the Matrix. Now, this is Agent Smith talking to Morpheus, who is a sort of a prophet, trying to help people wake up from the Matrix. The first clip talks about how Agent Smith actually feels about human beings. Listen.
Every mammal on this planet instinctively develops a natural equilibrium with the surrounding environment, but you humans do not. You move to an area and you multiply. Multiply until every natural resource is consumed. And the only way you can survive is to spread to another area. There is another organism on this planet that follows the same pattern. Do you know what it is? A virus. Human beings are a disease, a cancer of this planet. You are a plague.
Yes, that's how the people who look at us who are not part of the conformity, the mass conformity, they look at us as if we are the virus itself. And they have to have a way to inoculate themselves against us. This is a very interesting thing. This movie is already 20 years old, 21 years old.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't it amazing?
There's a new one about to come out, yeah.
The new one is coming out soon, but I want to play the second clip here because what Agent Smith says about it is very telling. It's exactly what he says about the resentment. Listen to this.
Human beings are a disease, a cancer of this planet. You are a plague, and we are the cure. Good evening. Can you hear me, Morpheus? I'm going to be honest with you. I hate this place. This zoo, this prison, this reality, whatever you want to call it, I can't stand it any longer. It's the smell. If there is such a thing, I feel saturated by it. I can taste your stink. Every time I do, I fear that I've somehow been infected by it. It's repulsive, isn't it? I must get out of here. I must get free.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
A lot of that reminds me of, you know, environmentalists speak, or how they think of human beings and what they're going to do to the planet, or the supply of energy that we have. And it seems to me that God has always provided the transformation to the next. You know, I mean, we originally thought that the planet couldn't sustain as many people as it does now.
Hogwash.
But in reality, it could sustain many more than what are here. And the command is be fruitful and multiply.
Right.
You know, and the answer will be delivered. You know, this push towards being off of fossil fuels and all this stuff.
Oh, it's garbage.
Well, people are going to deliver that answer naturally. The technology is growing as we speak. At some point in the near future, there'll be a box in your backyard that supplies all the power that you need in your house, and all of these, you know, carbon issues will be a thing of the past. But they're not willing to wait for that. They want to force it now while they can still damage human beings greatly by neglecting their need for power that makes their life
much better. It's about population control and reduction.
Right.
So I believe pre-flood, time of the flood happened, if you want to take and look at the actual Bible, if Adam and Eve only had two children and the year the flood happened, there would have been over 20 billion people on the earth. Okay? So I believe that we used to have a lot more people on this earth before the cataclysm. And I believe the technology was actually
far. You mean
far.
Because of the flood, it changed everything.
Well, everything got changed.
The great flood.
Everything got reset.
Right.
It was a big reset that happened. It was a purging and wiping out of, basically, of corruption and sin.
Evil.
Of evil in the genetics. We've talked about that before on the show.
Right.
How it was all about how the genetics were being changed of the human race.
Where we are today.
That's exactly what's going on again. So we kind of foreshadow, it says in the Bible that in the days of Noah it shall be again, you know, before the return and the second reset happens.
But what's interesting is today it's so much more sinister. It's so subtle. It is so much more sinister because we have all these technologies that are making us give ourselves away.
But people lived hundreds of years back then.
Yep.
And so you could take evil and refine it down to its essence.
You know? Exactly. So you couldn't, that's why we're wiping out this older generation right now, because with age comes knowledge.
And
you
wisdom,
hang on to these things.
Right.
And so what goes on, I believe that the ancients were way further in technology than we are now. We have, you know, this crap, this plastic and this metal and all this garbage. But what still stands is like these megalithic structures that are actually energy harvesters and whatnot. And they were really into using crystals. Well, what is silica? Silicon Valley, right? Silicone. We store information in these computer chips that are made out of silica, which is the number one element we find in the earth, which is basically in crystal form. Crystals can store so much more memory than we can on computer chips.
What's interesting is where my dad was toward the end of his life was all of this finding God in physics.
Yep.
And the energy. And he had kind of an understanding of how to gather energy. I actually connected him with General Motors, the physicists at General Motors, because I became friends with the president of General Motors about 10 years ago. And they had many interesting interchanges between them. And my father says, I believe you can gather energy from a wheel. So as it rolls, it actually gathers energy, right? So the faster you go, the more energy you gather. And so they were like, what?
Yeah, see, that's how I found your father, too. Actually, I didn't realize it was your dad.
I know.
Until I came to the reckoning. So, like, 5 or 6 years ago, The Magnetic Universe, I believe, is the first book of your father's.
I can't remember the name. There's too many. He has too many books.
And then it was Finding God.
Finding God in Physics.
No.
Einstein's Missing Relative.
But he had another one called called?
Anyways.
Anyway. Yes.
So I was really harmonized with it a lot. Radio, you know, it was like I liked it a lot. And then I realized when I came to the reckoning and I saw the books, and I'm like, oh man, this is.
I know what it's called. It was called The Gravity Driven Universe.
Gravity Driven Universe. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, and because I'm really into the physics and numbers and all that. For some reason, it's kind of funny because your dad and I have the same name too, and we were breaking down what Reuben.
My father's
means.
Real name is Reuben, like Robert. Is Bob, Reuben is Roy, and anyway.
Right, so Reuben, it stems from the verb ruvay, right? Ben meaning son in Hebrew. Well, ruvay means the one who pursues knowledge or pursues light or wisdom.
Reuben.
Right, so the son who pursues knowledge or wisdom.
Right.
And it's funny because your dad was a polymath as well, like I consider myself, which is someone that's just really hungry for knowledge. And like actually, you know, by learning...
knowledge and understanding, yes. and leading to wisdom. Is
right,
what it was.
Right, right. So, yeah, it's just interesting that
my dad was a voracious reader. He read. I remember. What are you reading, Dad? Oh, and I'm like, what? Who reads that? Whatever it was, and it was like, what? But he was hungry for it.
He wanted to understand more about creation, so he could understand more about his father in heaven.
Yes,
and because that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted, desired more than anything else, it seems like to me.
My dad, people would send him books all the time, as people do to me all the time. And I gave you one just the other day. And he would open a book and read one page and say, it's crap.
Yep.
And I was like, how do you know?
It's that spirit of truth.
In a short time, he could see whether it was blather or whether there was truth woven into the words in the book. He said, you can open any of my books to any page and you'll find something there that is very interesting. What are you holding, by the way? What is this? What is this?
I'm always reading.
What is this?
From 1969, Emotion, Mother of Addiction. We were talking about being addicted to emotions
from
yesterday.
My dad's.
This is from Roy, by Roy Masters, edited by Dorothy Baker.
David, remember Dorothy Baker?
Yes, oh, I do.
So, it's just
a lovely,
interesting.
Wonderful woman.
This. Yeah. Can I read a clip of this real quick?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So here's on page 14. It says, we seek pleasure as the means to ease a physical pain that should not have existed in the first place. The pleasure, by removing the pain, removes the evidence of our ego's folly. So anything that makes us feel good gives us the impression that we are all right as a person. Thus, pleasure substitutes for the process that would lead to real spiritual joy. Joy arises from standing firm in the faith, not being tempted or upset, our center of dignity and reason.
My dad was 40 years old when he wrote that. The amazing thing to me is every so often you find people that are hungry for this. And I find that Bo is one of these people that's hungry.
Where did you get that?
Because I have all these little pamphlets, and he was helping me clean out one of the storage.
I've never seen this before.
Oh, listen. What is this one?
This one is Weak Fathers, Fierce Mothers, The Reasons.
That one I have seen.
Yes. Yeah. So this one, I said the same thing. Where did you find that? Well, we have thousands of things like this.
These are 70s era stuff.
69.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be reprinting all these because these are brilliant.
Yeah,
they're little snackable content.
It's human principles.
You can find a lot of this at FHU.com. F is in Frank. FHU.com. Along with this radio show, you can listen 24/7 on demand. And in the new year, 2022, we are going to have a live feed of some sort that you'll be able to weigh in live on the show. We'll take more comments and calls. But right now, you can email us, David or Alan, at FHU.com. Alan at FHU.com is my email address. We'll be right back with more David, Alan, Mike, and Bo. Stay with us.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
It's time to face the facts. If you don't conquer stress, stress will conquer you. Dr. George Hader, psychiatrist and diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
It's the only approach that I've ever seen in the whole field of psychology which allows you to become independent, which doesn't just set you up to take the next course in whatever type of psychology that you may be studying. It truly teaches you how to understand yourself and make decisions on your own and gradually grow as a person, become more confident and more effective.
Be still and know. Visit FHU.com and download the concentration exercise entitled Be Still and Know. Be Still and Know is rooted in ancient biblical principles that help you fight those unseen forces that up until now you have not understood. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. Be Still and Know and begin a new life free of fear, worry, and struggle.
I realized I was becoming more humble. I was more compassionate toward other people, and my whole personality seemed to just calm down from being a very judgmental, opinionated, sharp person to someone who I would listen to what the other person was saying more. And in becoming more humble, relationships that I'd had problems with that I didn't know how to solve, they seemed to begin to solve themselves.
Discovered it changed my life completely. As you can tell by my voice, Friday, I'm a Black American. He made me more objective, and I was been able to help others by being objective and opening their eyes, lifting the veils. And he took me out of the illusions, what I thought was real that wasn't real, and it lifted me out of my culture. I didn't realize how bogged down in my culture things were. Brought me closer to God, more aware, more alert, and able to help others. And that's the beauty of it. Instead of being dependent, more independent.
Go to www.fhu.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with Alan Masters. That's me, David Masters, Mike Jones, and Bo Hansen. David has teed up a whole bunch of different topics to talk about today, and a lot of times we don't get to all of them. David, we should start posting some of these on our website under like the David Masters blog or something like that. These are just interesting bits. And then we could put the link to the radio show there. But here's another one that's interesting. Wisdom shaped by how you respond to difficult life events. There's a study. And just below that, children who spend lots of time in nature see greater overall development. We were talking about
those two things are linked.
Yeah, they are, yeah. Right? And because we were talking about this the other day, Bo, you kind of seems like you kind of grew up on a farm. Or maybe your kids did. We were talking, was it you and I and Jan, my wife? I can't remember who we were talking to. The children that grow up on a farm with responsibilities of milking a goat or a cow or tending to the chickens or whatever it is, slopping the hogs, responsibilities, getting out there and having to get up early because you've got to feed a living thing that is hungry. We've got chickens. And just so you know, we have like 9 chickens. Down from 12 because a few were eaten by other animals, and the animal wasn't me. But at about 8 o'clock in the morning, if we are not up, those chickens will jump over the fence. We have them in a pen. They will jump over the fence and come about 300 yards up to the house and stand on the back door porch. Yes. And the roosters, of which there's like 3 of them, they will cock-a-doodle-doo and make all kinds of noise standing on the porch if we don't come and feed them. Now, they've gotten so smart that they go around to the back door where they can see in, and they stand there. And I have pictures of this, of the chickens looking in the house going, "Where are you?" These things are very reliant on us. Now, they have 3.5 acres to walk around and eat, but we feed them so they become dependent on us, right?
Well, that's just like people today, isn't it?
Yes. Isn't that funny? So because we feed them, but if we don't feed them after about, I don't know, half an hour or so of them pecking at the glass and cock-a-doodle-dooing, they will go off and they'll find that, yeah, their hunger will say, all right, we've tried this.
This is why rescuing children from adversity is a really bad thing.
your own children.
Yeah, you want to create a better life for your children.
Right.
So you remove all of the things that were stressors to you when
that
you were
gave
a kid,
you the character,
and now you have a zero character lump of protoplasm. Right.
Back to wisdom shaped by how to respond to difficult life events. I don't even need to read that, but I can tell you right now, it's true. I don't care who put the study together. It's a proven fact. Our suffering, and baby boomers are the worst about this, of which Mike and I are, we didn't want our kids to have to suffer. And so I decided at a young age of a young fatherhood, I thought, my son, because I had a boy first, needs to have some suffering in his life. Because I looked and I thought, all of the most difficult things in my life is where I gained character to be able to deal with the next set of problems. But if you removed all those difficult situations, it comes back to that joke that my dad always likes to tell. I'll tell it.
Toxic patriarchy.
No. It was the kid that never said a word. And finally, when he was about 25 years old, he says, "Hey, Mom, can you pass the salt?" And they went, "Oh, my gosh, you've finally spoken." My dad used to tell this joke all the time. "Why have you never spoken?" He says, "Everything's been fine up until now." He needed some salt. And that's the way it is. It's like we spoil our kids to death. And, you know, not that you want to be cruel to your kids, but they need to have chores. They need to have alarm clocks like my bladder that wakes me up at 5:30. My dad used to get me up every day at 6 o'clock in the morning.
They need to be able to solve a problem. You know?
Well, here's something, you don't overlook the value of this study. Because, let me just read it. It's only a paragraph. It says, "How you handle life's trials and tribulations determines whether you later end up becoming wise." And it says, "It mattered whether a participant was expected to adjust to the event quickly and get back to life, or whether they were encouraged to grow and change as a result of the event." And so what that said to me was something very interesting. And I have it myself, and I think everybody has that has any kind of real consciousness knows there's things you need to adjust to. You need to think about it. You need to sleep on it. You need to sit on it. You need to wonder about it, right? And I think that in this instant gratification society we live in, everybody thinks they got to have the answers right now. But that kills the ability to discover, to educare people, to bring forth from within what it is that every human being must find within themselves. Yes, there are all kinds of outward indicators, and there's all kinds of information. And this is the danger you were talking about, Elon Musk, earlier, of being connected to the internet in your head. That's going to destroy the human race's ability to find the truth that sets us free from within ourselves.
Good point, David.
It's like it's going to shut us off from our subconscious. It's basically that's what's going to happen. It's going to replace that subconscious mind with
it is
the internet.
It will be changing the voice from within, which is the Father in heaven speaking to you in His Holy Spirit, to a artificial intelligence voice.
And they're also doing that by getting rid of that VMAT2 gene.
Explain that real quick.
That VMAT2 gene is the what they call the God gene, and now, like I showed you, that Harvard study. Basically saying that they have the vaccine, which is crazy because I don't know how you have a vaccine to get rid of a gene. It's just a delivery system, basically, that has been patented and released for aerosol production. So they can just spray the skies through stratospheric aerosol injections.
There he goes again with it.
Is what the Air Force has been doing since 1992 over the United States, ever since the UN passed Open Skies Act. We could no longer do it over other countries. But we pay millions and millions and millions of dollars every year to spray our skies. Those are not condensation. Condensation disappears within 8 to 12 seconds.
You're going to have to, you know what you're going to have to do is give me some information that I can post so that people can do their own research on that. That's such interesting.
SAIs.
Okay, that's such interesting stuff, but it's a little bit lofty for me. Mike Jones, thank you. Bo Hansen, thank you. David, great job. Phil McGeehan, our engineer, thank you. Dave Milligan, thank you guys all for listening. Thank you for your cards and letters and your support of the Foundation of Human Understanding. I'm Alan Masters. This is Perilous World Radio. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
Today, the light bulb's getting dim. There's meltdown in the sky.